Oh, good morning. Welcome to the Gunsmith Show this 29th of March here on US 103.1. US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock and the Gunsmith Show from 8 to 9, Saturday mornings. 29th of March, John, you didn't do anything special based on the date, did you?
Well, you know, I drop the ball a lot, Dan. I'm a known ball dropper.
Okay? Yeah.
So we went past the 8th day of March, which was 308 day.
Oh, yeah.
We went past 223, which was AR-15 day, kind of like. And so here it is, 329. I said, well, I don't know of a Model 329 gun, but there's a lot of Model 29 guns out there. So I thought, well, let's make today's show about Model 29s. Actually, it was Jake's idea. He hit me with it.
Oh, yeah.
He always hits me last minute when I got half the show written, and he tells me something new, and I scrub the show and start over from scratch.
Turn on a dime.
Yeah. You know, it's eastbound and down. Here I am.
Yeah.
So, but it is the 29th day of March, and we're glad to be here. So thanks so much for listening to the Gunsmith Show here on Saturday mornings. We love it. And so today is the 29th. We're going to talk about the Model 29 Smith & Wesson, of course, the infamous Dirty Harry monster. Dirty Harry monster, that didn't sound right. But anyway,
Dirty Harry monster.
A Dirty Harry, well, it's the classic.
Make my day.
Iconic 44 Magnum.
And that's the Model 29, I didn't know that.
Yep, and then we're going to talk about the Glock Model 29.
Okay.
Which is the first compact 10 millimeter monster gun, because mm-hmm. that's a 29 is attributed to powerful guns. The third one, not so much. It's a Remington Model 29, which is so obscure that most people don't even know there was a Remington Model 29. Okay. And I say was because they haven't made them since 1933.
Oh, geez.
So, but
well, you're stretching for that one, I guess.
But they're classics.
Okay.
They are classics. So it's worth talking about. Very interesting. So I got a great gun talk today. All guns, all day. Well, for the next hour anyway. So fill up your coffee and let's dig right into it. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I'm ready for coffee this morning. So we'll start with the Glock 10 millimeter because it's the now the Glock 10 millimeter has been out for a long time, but they came out with a Model 29 Glock. The first one was a Model 20, and they came out with a Model 29, and
did it come right after Model 28?
Yes, and that's how it works. With Glocks, it's the number represents the
iteration.
Patent. No, the patent.
Oh, the patent.
The first one was the Glock 17, then the Glock 18, which was a fully automatic Glock 17.
Gotcha.
Then the 19, which is the downsized 9mm that is the most popular Glock. The 19 Glock is the most popular. And then the 20. Glock just jumped right into the 10 millimeter and made the 10 millimeter because they were trying to get the contract back in the 90s or 80s to get the FBI contract to get them service weapons, 10 millimeter service weapons. 10 millimeter is a beast of a round. It is more powerful than a 45.
It's although, a workhorse.
Yeah, some people don't believe it. It's my favorite handgun round. Honestly, I enjoy shooting. I enjoy collecting them. I like them. I load them all the time, and I shoot them as much as I can. It is a very, very powerful gun. It hits like a ton of bricks. Ted Nugent's favorite handgun, so he carries a 10mm around all the time. And so the Model 29 is, let me tell you what it is. It's a, honestly, for the size of the gun that the 10mm Glock in the Model 29 is, you don't usually get 10 millimeters in that size of a gun. It's a very small gun. This is a compact 10 millimeter, 10 shot semi-automatic handgun. It is short, stout. The barrel's only 3¾ inches long, so it's very short.
So it's hard to work on, probably like foreign cars. You know, remember back in the day, you had the Delta 88 with the.
You know what I mean.
You could get
fit the whole family in the trunk.
You wouldn't even your elbow wouldn't touch the sides when you're in there cranking
on
a wrench or something.
You could have three people in the back seat and they wouldn't be touching thighs.
Exactly.
You know? So unless they wanted.
But now this one's so compact, you got to have special training to get in there and work on it.
My hands barely fit on it. My little finger goes underneath it.
Oh yeah.
And with a 10 millimeter, it kicks so much.
Yeah.
And out of that 3.78 inch barrel, the muzzle jump on it is tremendous. But so you got to hold on to it with both hands. You know what I mean?
It's a two hander.
You got to grip it hard, and you got to
It's small, but it takes two hands.
It's funny you mention that. Depends on the size of the hands. So it only weighs 24 and a half ounces, roughly.
Okay.
So it's pretty light. It does hold 10 rounds, but it also will accept the larger 15-round magazines, which gives you a little bit more to hold in your hand.
Yeah. Okay? So, but it's a petite powerhouse.
It is. And first released in 1996. And so it takes a while for these things to come along. So it took 10 years to get from the Glock 17 to the Glock 29, okay?
Yeah.
And they came out with a 30, I believe, the exact same year, which is the exact same size, only it's a 45 ACP, not a 10 millimeter. So the Gen 4 was the first one, or Gen 3 was the first one, 1996. And as they progress, it's kind of like models. You know how the model, it'll be the XLT or it'll be the Equinox, you know, EQ2 or whatever. They have Gen 3s, Gen 4s, and Gen 5s now. And they seem to improve every time. There's always naysayers that say that, oh, the 3 is the best or the 2 is the best. And, well, there wasn't any 2s in this one. So it was Gen 3, Gen 4, and Gen 5. Gen 5 came out in 2024. I'm looking forward to getting one of those. I like them, and that'll be one of my next Glock acquisitions. So, but the Gen 3s, the originals, there's not a thing wrong with them. They got some finger grooves on the front of them, helps you hold on to them. They keep changing the design of the grip a little bit, but they usually take these same or almost identical magazines. But this little gun, it only weighs just a hair over 2 pounds. It's 33 ounces, so it's 2 pounds, 1 ounce, or 2.1 pounds, I guess is what it would be. It's almost 7 inches long. So it's 7 inches long, four and a half inches tall. And the line of sight, which is very important for a small gun, like on a snub nose revolver, you got about a 3.5 or 4 inch line of sight. So when you line your two sights up, your back sight and your front sight, you only got about 3 inches or 4 inches. Well, this gun still has a decent line of sight. It's 5.91 inches line of sight, which I think it's one of the most important things to measure on a gun like that is, can you have good shootability with it? In other words, are you going to hit what you're aiming at? And
the longer the line of sight, the more accurate.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why when we handgun hunt, a lot of times we have really long handguns, and they work good. They you get more power out of the barrel. There's a point of which the barrel can be too long, but with handguns we usually don't get into that. In other words, instead of building up pressure and making the bullet go faster, the bullet will actually slow down in the barrel on a, you know, like if your barrel was say 26 inches long instead of 6 inches long. It might not have enough energy to push the barrel, the bullet all the way
up. Might get
to
the end of the barrel and just fall down under the ground.
Yeah, yeah. You can catch it with a baseball mitt, you know? So, no fun at all. So, this is one of the most powerful concealable handguns that you can own. It is truly, I say it's for the strong-willed and the strong-spirited, and usually people with strong arms, because they are a handful.
And, got a kick.
It has a bark. So a lot of people like to get the milder loads to shoot these at the range because they really do kick a lot. And I love it when I go to the range and people shoot them and they don't pick up their brass and I get their 10 millimeter brass, which helps me. But this goes back, the 10 millimeter always goes back to the same old thing as you got, like when I was a kid and you and I were kids, Dan, in the 70s, the mid 70s, 9 millimeters, 38 specials, 357 magnums, Clint Eastwood's 44 magnum. And everybody looked at the 9 millimeter as if it was useless because it was back then there was a lot of peer pressure about like, well, that was the German round. You know, that was not the American round. 38 specials and 357s and
44s.
And 44 magnums. Those were what they were, true iconic. And, you know, wheel guns. We like revolvers here in the States. Well, when the Austrian Gaston Glock made these Glocks, and Beretta had a ton of 9mm on the market, these 9mm were all over the place, and Browning had 9mm because they were made in in Belgium. And so they were European, so they had a lot of 9mm. And we started to see more of the 9mm popping up here in the States. Well, it always caused this fight when the 10mm came out and they said, well, it's more powerful than a 45. And everybody was like, you know, say it ain't so. It can't be more powerful than a 45. That's the iconic American gun from 1911. What we used in World War I, it was the greatest sidearm ever designed by John Moses Browning. And but let me throw a little comparison at you. Not to say that the 45 is a bad gun, because I love them too. The 45 ACP, when you pull the trigger on a normal 45 ACP, the pressure in the chamber, and that's what pushes the bullet out faster and harder. The pressure in the chamber is designed for 19,000 pounds per square inch. So it's quite an explosion. It pushes a 230 grain round nose bullet about 900 feet per second. And it hits hard enough to be a man stopper. Okay, so it's such a big blunt object that it's designed so when you're in the trenches in World War I and you pull the trigger, the person stops where you shot them, not keeps coming running at you. And they've always said that about 9mm, that you got to shoot multiple times. That's why they have larger quantities of bullets inside the gun, because you need 14 or 15 rounds, you know. And we've seen it in videos and we've seen it happen. Well, in comparison to the 10mm, it is just a slightly smaller bullet. So, I mean slightly. We're talking minuscule. Mm-hmm. The 10mm is 0.401 of an inch. And a 45 is 0.452. So, very little difference between the two, okay? The difference is merely 30 hairs, you know, stacked up on top of each other. So, it's not much. But the difference in power is tremendous. The 10 millimeter has 33,000 PSI, so almost double of the 45 ACP. So the bark is tremendous. The pressure of that 10 millimeter bullet flying, 180 grain bullet, hitting quite a bit faster than usually about 12 to 1300 feet per second is what you're going to get out of a good defense round. And compared to the 900 feet per second and 19,000 PSI with the 45 ACP. Big difference. So there's a reason why we like 10 millimeters, and that's why people kill elk with them, people hunt with them all the time, and they, of course, carry them for self-defense. Mm-hmm. I will, this year, if I'm careful, I will score my first big buck with it. All right.
Oh, going hunt with 10 millimeter. All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did last year, too, but I didn't get a chance to use it. Deer were all too far away.
Well.
So a man's got to know his limitations. I heard that from somebody.
We'll talk more about that coming up. It's the Gunsmith Show right here on US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock. Back after this.